It's Spanning the State. I'm Kristen Bry.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Now, for some people, the results of the 2020 presidential election are still being questioned. And we all remember the aftermath of that election and the conspiracy theories that spread across the country. In Wisconsin, Trump supporters complained of ballot dumps, voter fraud, ballot harvesting. A Wisconsin attorney then hatched a plan that would later become the fake elector scheme, where Wisconsin and six other states that Joe Biden had won would cast false slates of electors. There were multiple reviews, audits, investigations. None of those things bore any fruit. Well, will Wisconsin be plagued by these types of theories and investigations after November 5th if Donald Trump loses? Jay Heck is the executive director of Common Cause Wisconsin, a nonpartisan group that works to strengthen our democracy against the challenges it faces today. He joins us now to discuss if Wisconsin is ready to face another round of misinformation. Jay, thanks for being here.
Hey, Brian, good to talk to you and Kristen again. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
You're very welcome. Do you envision, if the election does not go the Republicans' way, do you envision the same type of responses after November 5th that we saw 4 years ago?
Well, of course, one never knows, particularly with a candidate like Donald Trump at the head of the ticket. But I would say no, because we've been through this before, and I think a lot of lessons were learned from 2020. I think we know what to expect, and everybody else knows what to expect. And the same cast of characters are not going to necessarily be leading the charge, as was the case in 2020. You know, you mentioned, for instance, that the slate of electors, false electors that were put into place after 2020. Well, none of those people can serve as electors again. And the fact that one of the electors this time around for Trump is former Governor Tommy Thompson at least gives me hope that he would not lend his name to the kind of attempt that was made after the 2020 election to replace the legitimate candidate, the legitimate elected President Joe Biden. So, you know, that's different. Many of the same conspiracy theorists and election deniers that were sort of leading the charge back then, we know who they are this time, and we know what to expect from them. And I think groups that are concerned about fair voting and making sure that people have access to the polling place are much better organized this time around than we were in past elections. So we're doing everything we can to make sure it's not a repeat, but you know, we won't know until we see what unfolds in the next 40 days.
Jay, I was just thinking about this the other day of just the simple fact that we're no longer in a pandemic, because so much of what happened in 2020 was the you know, the fact that we were doing so much more absentee voting because of COVID. And so is there an expectation that we're going to have way less absentee ballots, or is that not part of the calculus of what is going to go more smoothly this time around?
Well, I think that's part of it. There will be less people having to rely on either the U.S. mail to return their absentee ballots or to take them to ballot drop boxes. Now, one of the good things, of course, is that ballot box drop boxes were restored in time for the November election. And that is helpful to people, particularly people who are disabled or elderly people or people that cannot travel long distances to deliver their absentee ballot in time to their clerk's office. And because the mail is not always reliable. So I think that will help for people that are voting by absentee ballot. But I think you're right. There's not going to be many. I think there's more interest this time around in people showing up at polling places. And so, you know, the question then is going to be making sure that clerks have all the supplies they need, the ballots and all of that, but also guarding against possible intimidation at polling places or threats to people who are trying to vote or wait in line. And so, you know, but I think there's just a lot more on the ground activity to watch out for that. The other thing is, we know who the election deniers are and who the conspiracy theories. They're what we call the usual suspects.
Oh, okay.
And they kind of travel around in packs, and we kind of know who they are. And they'll show up at Central Count in Milwaukee. They'll show up at some other places. But and they'll have allies, of course. But on the other hand, I think we know what to expect, and that's half the battle is anticipating what will happen
you,
or
you
might happen.
You touched on this a little bit, but in one of the articles I read, you were saying that you were more worried about not the stuff that would happen after, but efforts that would be made prior to the election and during the election to try to keep people from voting. You mentioned intimidation. Can you expand on some of those?
Well, we're obviously going to be concerned about what happens afterwards as well.
Sure.
The point I'm making about afterwards is that, recounts, canvassing, there's all kinds of things that may occur, and they happened after 2020, and it didn't change the result and all the legal challenges as well. But, the thing we don't know, it didn't materialize in 2020 where there was, obviously, and I'm not saying or expecting that there'll be confrontations at polling places, but those are the things that we're concerned about, making sure that people can vote unimpeded, they can wait in line without any trouble, and that people won't be discouraged from voting for fear that they're going to, go to a polling place and, meet somebody who's going to try to interfere with their right to vote. Again, you prepare for the worst and hopefully it won't happen. But I think we have a lot more people on the ground this time around who are going to be watching out for those things. And the other thing, too, is that there's much more online activity, disinformation, and, again, a lot of volunteers watching for that type of activity to be able to make sure that that can be countered or reported if it needs to be. And finally, attorneys, election attorneys that people will be able to call on and before election day if they're trying to vote by absentee ballot or they're trying to vote on election day and they run into problems or somebody who's trying to interfere with their right to vote, we'll have a lot of legal assistance available to people. All those things.
Speaking of legal woes sometimes, I know Wisconsin, at least since I've been back, there's always legal cases that get decided almost up until it feels like the election itself. Is there anything pending right now that could change people's access to the ballots between now and November 5th?
Fortunately, I don't think there are.
Right.
I think the things that were sort of pending and we were kind of concerned about, if there are going to be decisions made, it'll be after the election. For instance, there's lawsuits to try to remove Megan Wolf, the nonpartisan and very competent head of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, the administrator, but that decision won't be heard by the Wisconsin Supreme Court until after the election. And there's a couple of other voting related issues like that. I think it's interesting to point out that the mayor of Wausau, who we know was against absentee voting with ballot drop boxes. He tried to spirit away the box outside of the Marathon County Courthouse or City Hall, and that has been returned. So I think things like that are, those kinds of stunts are the things that we're going to be watching out for between now and election. But, and when they pop up, it'll be like whack-a-mole. We'll have to go after them and try to address them.
Jay, we got about a minute left. You mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, lessons were learned. So what are those lessons or changes in the rules or the laws that are going to be in effect this time that weren't last time?
Well, I think it's just going to be a slightly different landscape, as you pointed out, because there will be less absentee voting. But one of the things that, I just want people to understand is that it's important that if they decide to vote early, they have the right to do so, or if they have if they want to cast their vote by absentee ballot. But again, the mail, don't do things like don't wait until the last week to mail your absentee ballot. Get it in the mail beforehand, or return it, and make a plan for voting, and make sure that you have that photo ID that is required in Wisconsin. And I think after 11 years of doing this, I still think it's an unnecessary impediment to voting, but people have adjusted to it.
Man.
So just make sure you're prepared and have some kind of plan, and don't be deterred if someone tries to to tell you that you can't vote for any reason. I'm optimistic. I think voter turnout will be very robust. There's great interest in this election, and there's so much at stake, of course. So, you know, I think people will turn out and they'll have their voices heard. And if there's, for some reason, someone tries to stop you from doing that, there's plenty of help available.
Perfect. Well, thanks for joining us, Jay. Jay Heck is the executive director of Common Cause Wisconsin. So it looks like Wisconsin is ready for a big election. Let's hope everything goes smoothly.
Ready or not, here we come.
Thanks, Jay.
We can only hope.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You.
Take care. That's Jay Heck. When we come back, oh my goodness, Halloween is coming. And after the news, we're going to be going to Old World, Wisconsin to get all spooky, spanning the state.